Word of God actually says, amen, that all creation honors the Lord. Amen. That you can know there is a God by just looking at creation. Amen. You can see the hand of God in so many areas of creation. Awesome to be with you. Thanks for joining us on a Memorial Day weekend. We have lots of friends and family. It's an honor to have all of you that are gathered here. Turn around to somebody next to you and shake their hand and say, man, it's awesome to have you in church. God bless you. May be seated. What a great song. And throw a little Spanish in there for those of you that don't know any Spanish. Amen. Our Spanish brethren really got a lot out of that, I hope. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's awesome that we have a Spanish church that meets in the afternoon, and their Elkhart Life as well. They're not a separate congregation, but their Elkhart Life in Spanish is the name of the church, Elkhart Life in Espanol. And we're very thankful for all the cultures that are represented. Amen. But I would like to say, God bless America. Amen. A cultural melting pot of cultures from around the world. Amen. God bless America. It's Memorial Day, a day that we remember and we think back and honor those in the past. And there's so many in the past. And I don't want to be maudlin, but we have several that have left us to go on for their reward. And we want to honor each and every one of them. I think about them and think about them often. And if I started calling names, it would get maudlin, and I'd probably miss somebody and get rebuked after church for who I missed. So I don't have a list of everyone that's passed on, but I do honor. We have lots of great men and lots of great women that were the founders and builders of this church over the years, and I'm very thankful for every one of our elders that has served and is now in retirement or semi-retirement. Amen. I want to thank you for being part of the church. We remember your service. Amen. And we want to say thank you to you as well, each and every one. Hallelujah. I preach a sermon on a pretty regular basis. My wife would tell you when I'm out and about, I preach a sermon on milestones and memorials. And I like the sermon. I preached it here a long time ago, but it is about Israel when they crossed the Jordan River. The Bible says God told them to go back down where the priests are standing with the Ark of the Covenant and gather out 12 stones, bring them up and pile them up on the side of the river. And there's going to come a day when your kids don't know about what has happened here. They're not going to understand. They're not going to remember what happened here. But you need a memorial so when they come by and ask you, what is this pile of stones? You can say, there was a day we're on that side of the river and God wanted us to move on this side of the river and he parted the waters for us. And this is a memorial stone to remind us of what God has done in our past. Amen. So God intends, I believe, for every single individual to have memorial stones in their lives. Let me say it a little clearer. I believe God intends for every person to have a miracle. Let me say that again. I believe God intends for every person to have a miracle in their life. The day you're baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues is a monumental day in your life. Amen. Nobody can ever take that day away, the day that God fills you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've met very few people that have been filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues that you would ask them, when were you filled with the Holy Ghost? And they said, well, I don't remember. Sometime in the deep, distant past. I can tell you when I got the Holy Ghost, it was at Georgia camp. And they had sawdust on the floor, and I came up, and they had a stairway onto the platform on the left-hand side, and I received the Holy Ghost right there. Today, they've expanded and remodeled, and that stairway is not there. But I've been back to the old Georgia campground. It's all concrete now, and it's much nicer and enclosed and air-conditioned, and it's a beautiful place today. But back then, it was a raw, open building with just a roof and about 6 feet of metal coming down and open air underneath it and just sawdust on the floor. And I got the Holy Ghost when I was 12 years old. I just turned 12 on May the 25th, and then the first week of June, I received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And I will never forget what God did for me on that day. Now, He still had to work on me after that day. And I still had to allow Him to work on me after that day. But you can never take that away from me. You can't take an experience of God, a monument stone, when God does something significant. And I'll throw out, today is about memorializing. I've said it many times in this congregation. God healed my wife. She got a disease at 2 years old. And at 28 years old, when she had Titus, God completely healed her. When we followed the promise of God to go to Hong Kong and start a Bible school, and then she got pregnant after we believed to answer that promise. I don't know if your Sunday school class taught you, but Eric was teaching the adult class, life, you want it to be a straight line, but it's rarely a straight line. There's bumps and hills and valleys, and I wish, could you pull up that little image that Eric had up on the screen? And I'm not started preaching yet, but I'm going to in a minute, okay? But I just want to call your attention to something I don't think he mentioned. This is my plan versus God's plan, and I think that's a pretty significant idea. But I want you to notice, at the end of every obstacle, there's a flag. That's a flag of accomplishment. That's God brought me through this water. I've got an accomplishment. God's brought me through whatever that rock pile is, and there's a flag. God has brought me through, and you've got a memorial. God has brought me through that difficulty, and then you've got a mountain to climb, and there's another flag after you climb the mountain. Do you understand that God gives you challenges and difficulties so you can get through them? Amen. So you can overcome them. And so you can look back and say, I remember who I used to be. I remember what used to happen in my life. But God has brought me out of the miry clay and put my feet on a rock to stay. And it is right and appropriate that you remember what God has done for you in your life. God saved you in an accident. Thank God. Amen. That's a memorial stone. You had a difficulty, and God brought you through that. And I am very thankful that I'm part of the United States of America. Amen. Because I would say we've gone through a lot, and God has brought us through. And I'm going to say that again. We've gone through a lot. Yet God has brought us through. We're not a perfect country, far from it. We made huge mistakes. We continue to make huge mistakes. Amen. But as long as there is a people in the country that honor God, amen. God came to Abraham, and Abraham said, you're going over to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, what if you find 50 good people? Would you not destroy it for 50 good? And God said, I won't
for 50 good? What about 40? What about 30? What about 10? If you could just find 10 good, honorable people, will you not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? It's a pretty interesting thing. God said, if I could find just 10 in this dual city, if I could just find 10, I'm not going to destroy it. I'm telling you what, I want to be part of at least the 10 in America, amen, that God would still bless America today. That if God comes down and looks in America for people that honor him, I want to be part of that, even if it is a small crowd. I want to be part of a small crowd of people that honor the Lord. Amen. Psalms 33 and 12 says, Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Could you pray with me just for a few moments? I know it's a holiday weekend, and I know we typically are out having a picnic on this day. Bruce has been beating on me all week, last couple weeks. We ought to have a picnic. We ought to have a picnic. We ought to have a picnic. When are we going to do a picnic again? So he's fighting for you to have a picnic someday in the future. Amen. Y'all ought to thank Bruce if you want a picnic. Amen. And Bruce, they're all honoring you, Bruce. They're all saying, woo! Bruce is deaf if you don't know him. Amen. And he only understands sign, or we write notes to each other. I feel like I'm in elementary school, me and Bruce write notes back and forth to each other, but it's the way that it works. Pray with me, the Lord would help us today. God, I thank you for your goodness and your great mercy, amen, to our nation. I thank you, Lord, for the kindness that you have shown us and the great benefits that we receive as part of being Americans. Amen. These benefits are not from our country or our Constitution, but I believe, God, they're originally from you. Amen. God has blessed America, and I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I apologize that we don't recognize it broadly today. Amen. That it's become a little narrower than it has in the past, that we recognize the blessings are from God. But I stand in front of our congregation today to acknowledge you, amen, as the source of all blessings, all mercy, all kindness, amen. You reign on the just and the unjust. And I thank you, God, amen, for who you are and what you represent. I pray, God, that you would help us turn our hearts towards you again in the future. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, whatever it takes, let our hearts be turned towards you. I pray in Jesus' great name. Everybody said amen. 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 I love history. I think if you don't know history, you'll be forced to repeat it. The Bible says David killed Goliath with a stone, and then he took and reached into his scabbard and grabbed his great sword. It was a giant sword. And he climbed up on top of Saul, and the Bible said he clave his head off. He cut his head off, and then he reached down and picked up the head of Saul and raised it. Just in case anybody in the audience was questioning whether Saul was actually dead or not, he grabbed Saul by the hair of his head and pulls his head from his body and holds it up so everybody would know, amen, no, we just didn't knock him out. No, he's not temporarily dazed, but this man is completely dead. And Israel wins a great victory that day. And David takes the sword and takes it to the church. He takes it to the tabernacle and gives it to the high priest. He said, this is not my sword. This is not my victory. This victory belongs to the Lord. Because he said before the battle began, you come to me with sword and a spear, but I'm going to come to you in the name of the Lord. Go back to Psalms that I just had. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he had chosen for his own inheritance. And he was saying, God, David's the author of many of the Psalms. And so when he's waving around the head and waving around the sword of Saul, he's saying to the people, this is not David's victory. This is God's victory. And he gives up the sword because if it was David's victory, he ought to hang that sword on the side of his tent. He ought to be so proud of what he had done in this world. And he would develop an ego, but he didn't. He said, this is not my sword. This is not my monument. This monument belongs in the house of God because it is God's monument. This is God's victory. And so he came, and years later, he comes back around when Saul's chasing him. He goes up to the priest and said, is there a sword in the house? And the high priest said, well, here's one. It's the only one we have in the temple. And he pulls out Saul's sword, and he shows it to David, or Goliath's sword, and he shows it to David. And David said, there's not another like this one. This is a giant sword. It is a well-known sword. It is a sword that I took from the enemy and used on the enemy. Listen to me. Amen. The word of God is absolutely accurate. You've got to hear it. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When you honor God, when you lift up God, amen, when you give God praise and thanks for your victory, for the difficulties that you've gone through, God honors you. God honors his people. Amen. I'm telling you, W. Woodrow Wilson said, we're trying to do a futile thing if we do not know where we came from and what we have been about. America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify those elements of righteousness divide from the revelation of Holy Scripture. Many of the people that fled from England and fled from Europe were fleeing from religious persecution. They were being executed. There were some of the preachers were tied to stakes and burned in fire. Not in North Africa, not in Muslim lands, but in European Christian lands. They were attacked, assaulted, beaten, and executed. And so Christians of different sorts began to flee the countries in Europe to come to America. The Quakers established Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania, amen, was a home for the Quakers. And they wrote rules. And actually, they started doing some of the same things that were done in Europe. They're doing rules to exclude others, to only include the Quakers. I want to tell you a little bit about the Quakers. Amen. They're called the Quakers because they used to quake in church. They used to shake in church. They used to dance in church. And people thought they were a little weird, and they began to call them the Quakers. That's not the name they gave themselves. That's the name society really put upon them because they would quake and shake. And history declares that they were tongue talkers. There were people in the Quaker church that were filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, but the church didn't want to emphasize that, so they de-emphasized it. But there are records that say individuals received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues in Pennsylvania long before the 1901 revival at Azusa Street started. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a history of people honoring God in our country. Amen. There is a group. The Methodists had tent revivals in Kentucky, and they were very well known for people being slain in the spirit in the late 1700s and the early 1800s. There's recorded evidence, books written by preachers of the day, of people receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues in the tent revivals that were literally noised about around the world because of the great move of God. People were coming from all over going into Kentucky tent revivals in the 1800s. People were receiving the Holy Ghost way back then. We are a Christian nation at our foundation, at our most fundamental. Amen. We are built on Christian principles. Amen. Memorial Day is a day to honor men who gave their lives. I know we have men that sit in this congregation who have told me stories that they are alive today because something happened and they switched jobs with somebody else and they were driving a truck and that truck was attacked and the guy that was driving that switched places with him was killed. And they remember those individuals. I don't know the men that my dad knew when he fought in Korea and Vietnam, but I do know that he went to Washington, D.C., to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And I know my dad found the names of his friends and coworkers and compatriots that fought with him in Vietnam and stood and cried at that monument, remembering those men that could not come home. Today is a day to remember some things. Today is a day to memorialize some things, to say, amen, we are thankful for those that have gone before. If you can go to the grocery store, if you can go to work, you ought to thank a veteran, amen, because they paid the price for your freedom, amen. Some of the men that you can't thank, you ought to thank the ones that you can thank. I try my best to say thank you to police officers, to military people. When I'm in restaurants, I try to buy the meal of somebody that I see that works in a service industry. I try to take a minute. I don't try to make a big deal out of it. Amen. But I want you to know it's a right thing to do to honor somebody who serves in a role. It's a good thing, and we ought to be part of it. Our young people, pay attention, young people. Amen. You ought to thank a military veteran. You ought to say thank you because they paid the ultimate price. I come from a family that I went without my dad for years at a time growing up because he was overseas in battles, in difficult situations. Colin Powell said, we have gone forth from our shores repeatedly over the last 100 years. And we've done this as recently as last year in Afghanistan. And wonderful young men and women were put at risk, many of whom have lost their lives. We asked for nothing except enough ground to bury them in. And otherwise, we have returned home to seek our own lives in peace, to live our own lives in peace. But there comes a time when soft power and talking with evil will not work, where unfortunately, hard power is the only thing that works. Regretfully, that seems to be true, that sometimes you have to stand up. Sometimes you have to defend yourself. Sometimes you have to defend your house. Sometimes you have to defend your children. And it is right and righteous that you stand up and defend your house and defend your family and defend, amen, your children or your grandchildren. That is a right and righteous position. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Verse 16 said, there is no king, hear me, save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. We have the greatest military. It is shocking how good, how powerful, how strong the United States military is in comparison to most of the rest of the world. They're inventing weapons of destruction that are so precise. They can fly through an open window and blow up a house. There's one they've created that flips out four swords, and it lands on a car. Rather than blowing up in a populated area, it opens up swords or blades and falls into a car, and so it slices the men inside or the people inside to pieces without damaging anything outside of the car. Some man sat and thought about and developed a weapon that would do something like that. It is stunning how accurate it can be and how many men that they have used that kind of thing on to destroy them. But here the word of God says it doesn't matter how strong your military, it doesn't matter how great your generals, it doesn't matter how large your army. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? But if God be against us, who can be for us? Amen. You cannot stop the hand of God. Look at the word of God over and over and over. God stepped in and fought for Israel. God stepped in and saved Israel. God stepped in and turned the enemy's plans against him. Amen. It is not the size of our power that makes all the difference. It is the size of our God. Amen. I'm telling you, we must acknowledge God's blessing, or there will come a day that God removes. I'm going to say that again. There will come a day that God will remove his blessing. Amen. There's no king saved by a multitude. Look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Anybody come to church hungry today? Anybody come physically hungry because you couldn't afford to eat? Some of the kids are raising their hand. Yeah. Mom didn't feed me as well as I'd like to today. Some of you kids are bottomless pits, and we never fill you up, I think. But I don't know that there's anybody in the room that came to church because you couldn't afford a box of cereal or a gallon of milk. And I know we all go through hard times, and sometimes it might be hard to buy a gallon of milk and a box of cereal. But I think eventually most of us can get there. And very few of us are starving. And our government has plans. If you are starving, there's ways to get milk and cheese and all kinds of stuff for children. There are all kinds of blessings. Amen. I'm telling you, it's not that way in India. It's not that way in China. It's not that way in Africa. It's not that way all over the world. There are people that are starving. And the scripture just says, when you've eaten and are full, we tend to pray before we eat. God, I pray you'd bless this food. Hands have prepared it. Strengthen us so we can fulfill your purposes. But this says at the end of a meal, we ought to honor God. Amen. Because this did not come just by my own intelligence or by my own ability. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, if God be for you, nothing can stand against you. The gates of hell will not prevail. If God be for you. Verse 17 of Psalms 33 says, otherwise you might say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand hath made me this wealth. I did it because I'm so good. Verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Upon them his hope is mercy, to deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. The word of God said, amen, the prophet went to a little old woman. Amen. And said, hey, I'd like a bite to eat. And she said, well, all I've got is this little cruse of oil and a little bit of meal. And I was planning to make me a last meal. And then me and my child, we're going to sit around our table in our house, and we're going to eat one more meal. And then my plan was, I'm going to die. And my child is going to die. Because this is it. And the preacher, my God, why would you have a preacher in your life? You don't need a preacher in your life. You don't need somebody to tell you to give away your last meal, do you? You don't need somebody that can't read the circumstances, that can't read the room, that doesn't understand how hard you've got it, how difficult it is, how overwhelming the odds are against you, and you've got a preacher to tell you to believe and to trust. My God, you don't need somebody like that in your life. And yet the preacher says to the woman, and man, I would get, Tim, I'd get stringed up. I think Tim would come over if I went to Linda and said, Linda, you only got one meal left? Great, I'm hungry. Fix it for me. I think Tim would be at my door, and he'd want to have a little conversation with me about, you know, the way you treat my mother-in-law. I can treat my mother-in-law that way, but you can't treat my mother. Think about what you'd do to a preacher that would take a woman's last meal. What kind of preacher do you want? What kind of preacher should you have preaching to you? A guy that's going to take away a woman's last meal and say, feed it to me? And yet that's exactly the kind of preacher they had. Amen. He went right up to her and said, fix me one first. And then you'll see what'll happen after that. Amen. You're going to see God do a miracle because your meal's not going to go out and your oil is not going to stop until this is all over with. You're going to last, amen, through the famine. That woman had been sitting there fretting for months. She had been watching her pile shrink. Listen, men in the room, pay close attention to what I'm going to tell you. This may be a revelation to you. Sometimes we're a little thick-headed and can't figure stuff out. Amen. One of the most important things, the highest priority for a lady in a relationship, in a marriage, in a home, is the safety and security of her children. Amen. Listen to me. Birds in a fire will sacrifice themselves in order for the babies in the nest to survive. Your wives will sacrifice a meal so the kids can eat. They will not eat a meal so their kids can eat. Amen. Most women are built that way. My wife the other day, I have a, in case you saw, you might see, don't look too closely. I had a cancer surgery right here in my head on Friday. It's skin cancer, it's basal cell sarcoma or whatever it's called, and it's no big deal. If they cut it all out, it's okay, is what they told me. They just got to keep cutting till they get it all done. I told the doctor when he walked in the room, as long as you don't have a hatchet, I'm okay. If you're going to come with a little scalpel and cut it, I'm all right. I just don't want you to take it all at one time. And he said he'd just cut a little bit. So I've got a little place right here, and it'll be okay in a couple of weeks, unless there's more and they got to come back and cut a bigger hole. It's a hole deep enough. I think he left his initials on my skull. I heard it scraping on my skull when he was digging around on it. You never can tell. The whole idea, though, amen, that you would have a woman allow her child to die over herself happens in our society, but it's almost unheard of in the world. I read of a woman recently, her boyfriend did not want her children, so she shot three of them. She killed one, she paralyzed the other, and the third one is mentally incapacitated for the rest of his life. The mother did that because she wanted a new boyfriend. That's almost inconceivable in the history of the world, that a woman would be so calloused towards her own children. And there's a number of stories that have come out in America recently in the past 5 or 10 years of mothers being callous. But that's unusual. A woman is willing to give everything up, and she looks and watches her food supply, her oil supply dwindle, and yet this preacher comes and says, give it to me. I'm telling you, amen, honor God. Trust the Lord. It's amazing what will happen when you put your faith and confidence
in God. We were founded actually on miracles. I know this is not highlighted in school, but in 8/27/1776, General Howe trapped Washington and his troops on Long Island. He had them trapped, and he was going to overwhelm them. He was going to advance as soon as it was light and crush Washington and all of his troops, and he would end the war in one fell swoop. He would end the war. George Washington gathered up every boat he could and began unloading his army across the river into the mainland. And when morning came, he was a little over halfway done, and he still had troops, and he didn't know what he was going to do. He had to get them all over. They were now in a worse position because there were less men fighting a greater army. And all of a sudden, a fog began to sweep in across the land, and it filled the area where his troops were, and they were able to get in boats, and the enemy could not attack because a strange fog invaded the space, and they couldn't even see. They said in some of the writings that they couldn't see 6 feet in front of their face. Ben Talmage wrote, "At the dawn of the next day, those of us who remained in the beaches became very anxious for our safety. At this time, a dense fog began to rise out of the river, seemed to settle peculiarly over our encampments. I recollect that this peculiar providential," I'm having trouble. Eric is having trouble earlier, now I'm wrestling with it. "Providential occurrence perfectly well. So dense was the atmosphere that I could scarcely discern a man at 6 yards distance." They stepped back from attacking and didn't attack. Amen. The whole army escaped across the river, lived to fight another day, and you know what happened. In the end, we defeated one of the greatest armies in the world at that time, one of the largest militaries in the world. That would be like something like Haiti attacking the United States and saying, "We're not going to let the United States rule us anymore," and they would win the battle against a much larger army. The idea that we would win against such a significant army, amen, is almost overwhelming. But when we did, and I believe that God fought for us. George Washington believed that God fought for him. He wrote and said that he believed that it was by the hand of God. Amen. He wrote 146 times about God in his personal and public writings. He talked about he wanted to thank God, or God knows, or for God's sake, or my God. And he often used the word providence. I believe providence is in control. Providence is here taking care of us. He was saying, I believe that God's in charge and God knows exactly what he's doing. I've told the story once before. Matt called me and told me they were trying to stop Hamas as Hamas was raging across southern Israel on October the 7th. And they sent in a squad of highly trained individuals. One of them attends church, or used to attend church, an apostolic church in Louisiana. He's Jewish. He went to Israel to volunteer for the military. He became one of the highly trained squads, and they sent them in first. They went into a community that was under attack, and as the Hamas was raiding the village and coming in across the fields, he reached out on the radio and called in an attack. "Somebody help us. We're running out of weapons. We're running out of ammo. We're running out of men. Amen. If you don't help us, we're going to be in serious trouble. Somebody, please respond." And he thought he keyed it off, and he began to pray in Jesus' name and said, "Jesus, I've done everything that I can. I can't do this. I can't win this battle. I'm not big enough or strong enough. I need your help. Jesus, would you please help us?" Over an open military circuit, he's crying out to God. And all of a sudden, a pilot radioed back, and he said,
I've just come off a bombing run. I have one bomb left. That's all I can do. But if I can find you, I'm coming, and I'm going to drop my bomb in the best location. And the military, they were scattered across this field. The Hamas was scattered across the field. And he flew over, and he said, I've identified them. I'm going to come back on a bombing run. And he circled around, came back, and he said, I'm going to drop my bomb in the middle of this field of fighters. I don't know how much it'll do, but that's the best thing I've got. And he pulled the trigger, dropped the bomb. Unbeknownst to him, there was a large rock in the middle of a plowed field. And the bomb hit the rock, and the rock exploded. And it was a strong enough explosion multiplied by the rock in the middle of the field that all the pieces of the rock went and slew every single one of the Hamas fighters in that field that were coming against this particular man who is praying, in the name of Jesus, I need your help. Amen. And God responded. A few days later, the man just felt an urge. I ought to go to that town. I ought to find the man that plows that field. I need to talk to him about that. I didn't see that rock there. I didn't see that kind of reaction with that bomb. I've never seen that before. And I need to go find the farmer that plows that field. So he got in his car and drove down to the city and began asking people he saw, where's the farmer that owns that field? Where's the farmer? And they said, well, he's right over there. He's sitting with a pilot. The pilot had just gotten here right before you and wanted to meet that farmer. And they're sitting over there under the tree. And so he walks over, and the pilot is the pilot that flew over and dropped the bomb. And he had an urge on that day to go and meet that farmer. And so they sat down, both of them, with the farmer and began to discuss, how in the world, why did you leave a giant rock in the middle of the field? How is it that there's a rock there? And the old farmer said, I've been farming the field for 60 years, and I have never seen a rock in the field before. There's never been a rock at that location. There are no rocks in my field. Amen. I don't know about you, but I believe God is at charge, in charge, fighting for us. I believe God fights for anybody who will honor him. I believe God deserves honor. He deserves memorializing. He deserves praise. He deserves somebody acknowledging. Amen. My food is from God. My house is from God. My car is from God. My health is from God. Amen. I'm going to honor my God. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Amen. He is the Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke 17 and 21, the back part of that says, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. The kingdom of God is not some far away foreign substance. It's not something at a distance. Amen. But it sits where you sit. It's in your family. Even if your family is in difficult times, for whatever reason, whatever purpose. I wouldn't embarrass them for the world. But Craig Green, I wanted to say, I should have said at the beginning, because he wears an ankle bracelet right now. And if it goes off, huh? What? Did I say Craig? I meant Chris. They were married yesterday. They've been together 21 years. And they said, you know what? We want to get right with God in all the ways in our life. And so we want to get married. And so yesterday afternoon, we married him. And I met his brother. He'd just been released out of prison. And I met his sister. And she's just been released out of prison. And he just got out of prison right before he started attending church. And he hadn't missed a service. He's 6 months drug and alcohol free. I was telling his brother, and I was telling his sister. Amen. God's doing a great work. And I don't know about you, but I believe God can change a whole family's history. Every single one of them. Amen. I believe God's big enough. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and preach at what I believe. I believe God's big enough to bring revival in the land. I believe God's big enough, amen, to change addicted individuals into God-loving, God-fearing family members. Amen. I believe God's able to wash away the old man and make a new man. I believe, amen, a God that's able to change us, wash us, cleanse us. Amen. Give us a new heart. Give us a new mind. We think new thoughts. We live new ways. Amen. Because we've got the power of God inside of us. He didn't come to die, be buried, and resurrected, and then go to heaven and start the church on the day of Pentecost by the outpouring of the Holy Ghost into people's lives. He said, greater things shall ye do than what I've been able to do. Amen. We're the church of greater things. We're the people of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. Can't we believe, amen, for greater things that God would do? It's really easy to believe God's going to do something in the Africans or the Asians. But what about Park Street or Main Street or 19 or 33, or County Road 12 or County Road 14, County Road 11? What about Elkhart? What about South Bend? What about Mishawaka? We have a great harvest of people who need God. And we have a great God who wants to save people. Stand with me, would you? I went to the Supreme Court a couple years ago. I stood in a very august room, a very dignified space. And some of it roped off. You couldn't go everywhere. I didn't get to sit where the justices sat. But as I looked, someone mentioned it. And all around the top of the Supreme Court, all around, their reliefs, stories, carved in wood or plaster around the whole ceiling. And you looked and you could see Moses, Isaac, Jacob, Elijah, the Ten Commandments. Throughout the whole courtroom, the characters of the Old Testament are carved in bas relief. You go to the giant door that opens into the courtroom. You got Moses holding the Ten Commandments. You see, character after character after character
carved straight out of the Word of God. And they adorn the walls. Why? Because our laws are actually called the Judeo-Christian laws. They're based on the Old Testament and the New Testament. And our founders that built our buildings wanted us to remember. They wanted those justices that sat in that room, amen, to be surrounded by men who lived their lives honoring God. They put their faces there as memorials. I'm telling you, amen, if you would hear my heartbeat for just a moment as we close. I know it's a holiday weekend. I know you've got McDonald's to go to. Every head bowed, every eye closed, would you? Just take a moment before we dismiss. Do you honor the Lord? Do you value all that you have? Sometimes we get so focused on what we don't have, we forget what we actually do have. I wonder if you just take a minute. Grandparents, obviously, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, the house you live in, the car you drive, the food you eat, the job you have. The health you have. The breath that you have. Amen. Could we just take a minute and honor the Lord? I know we've been worshiping Him all through the service. You've been responding to the preaching, but just a moment longer, would you put your hands up in the air? Amen. And just your private place, right where you're at, would you thank God? Thank God for the blessings in your life. Thank God for the abundance that you have. Thank God for the family that's in your life, for the relationships that you have. Amen. God will multiply. Listen to me. God will multiply. Hallelujah. When you honor God, God will begin to multiply things in your life. Amen. God will do it. God will honor that. Hallelujah. When you lift Him up, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Our God is the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Invite you, if you'd like to step forward and pray. Amen. You're welcome to come and join us. Amen. I don't mean to hold you. You're welcome to be dismissed if you need to go. God bless you. Amen. But honor those that are here praying for a few minutes. Amen. Thank you for joining with us on a holiday weekend. We love you. Amen. God bless you.